Doing a lot of talking together, so I need you to be moving down and together a little bit so that you have someone next to you you can talk to when I say turn to the person next to you and talk. So I'm going to give you a minute to do that, please. So I'm hoping we've appreciated what we heard from Candice earlier. I certainly did. And just that encouragement and challenge to be intentional in our relationships with each other to build one another up in Christ. I'm also very thankful for all the stuff she covered, because a lot of what she covered is stuff I scrubbed out of mine, because I'm like, I don't have time for this. So I'm glad she covered the stuff that that she did, and hopefully it's a good springboard to what we're going to be talking about now. So this morning, when we were looking at Titus 2, kind of looking at our community as a church and how to encourage each other, although Candice did also touch on reaching out. So that's what this afternoon session is more about, is how as a church community we can be reaching out to the community around us with the gospel. So, evangelism. What is evangelism? So the dictionary definition is the spreading of the Christian gospel, the good news about Jesus Christ, by public preaching or personal witness. I'm going to just take us through nothing that I don't think you don't already know, but just kind of refreshing our minds with things. Kind of looking at what our motivation is, why we find it difficult, and then just some practical ideas of sharing our faith. So, the word evangelism. There's my questions. What does it make you think of? Okay, when someone says the word, right, evangelism, what are you thinking of? What do you think it involves? Whose responsibility is it? How does it make you feel? And what are the things that stop you from sharing the gospel? Okay, so that's what I want you to be discussing in your groups. So quite a few people have left. So maybe, again, groups of sort of four or five, and you get together, and I'll give you a few minutes just to talk through those questions. Ideally, if you're in four separate groups, because later on I do need you to be in groups of four. Four groups. Okay, so let's just bring your conversations to a close. So I'm not sure what you discussed, but I'm guessing some of you would have said you find the idea quite scary, you don't know what to say, you're worried about people's responses to sharing things with them. I don't know what you said about whose responsibility it is. Some people think, oh, it's the church leaders. Others are more convicted that actually we all have that responsibility to be sharing our faith. I hope you all came to that conclusion. And some of you may actually be real in your heart evangelists, and you're really excited about the prospect of sharing the gospel with people and just can't wait to get out there. Some of us might be halfway between that, like we want to, we just don't know how to say or how to go about, what to say or how to go about it. Okay, so now I want you just to take a few minutes, just in your own head, to think about how you came to know the Lord. Or if you haven't put your faith in him, what's brought you to this step of coming to church, coming to this meeting? Who or what has led you on that path? Just think, how did I come to know the Lord? Who was involved in it? What happened? And I'm going to make the presumption that for most of you, there was probably a number of people who spoke to you and a number of different situations where God's word was explained or taught, where you felt challenged, and just it wasn't like a one-off thing. It was a culmination of people and events that led you to that. And I think sometimes when we think about evangelism, we put a lot of pressure on ourselves to be like, okay, this is the one moment that I have to say everything to this person and get it right. And so that kind of makes us just be like, ah, I can't do this. What if I get it wrong? So I'm hoping just even by thinking about your own path, that you can see actually it wasn't necessarily one particular person or one particular event, but actually it was kind of steps along a path, and there were different people that God put in your way to help lead you to him. And so we don't need to put that pressure on ourselves in that one moment of, I have to say this perfect presentation to this person so that they accept and are saved. And also I think just remembering that it's God who's doing the work in their lives. We're the messengers, but he's the one who convicts. He's the one who calls people. But remembering we are still the messengers. We still need to tell the message. We still need to take opportunities to introduce people to Jesus. And so also remembering that it's God who does the work, we need to be putting the situation in his hands, praying about it, asking for help and wisdom, asking him to be working in the life of the person that you're talking to. Because at the end of the day, there's nothing we can do apart from share what he wants us to share with them. The other point I wanted to make on that as well is that God uses the church as a whole. He uses a number of people to work in people's lives. And so it's not just down to us individually, but us as a church and a community to be involved in people's lives, to share the gospel with them, either in what we say, like physically reading the Bible and stuff with them, or just in our behaviour and attitude towards them. That idea is, I don't know how many of you go to the Wednesday Connection Group, the Bible study. So they're studying the compelling community at the moment, which I would highly recommend. I would recommend going to the Bible study, and if you can't, read the book at least, because there is a chapter towards the end. So the studies, they haven't got to it yet, so you're still in time to get there. Just looking at the idea as the church as a whole, and how we can be a community that, as Candice was saying earlier, just attracts people because they can see godly character and the true message. Okay, so now I want us to think a little bit about, so I'm presuming as well that when you answered the question, what are the things that stop you from sharing the gospel? I'm going to presume that most people said fear of how others will respond, what they might say, not being able to answer their questions, or even just not knowing yourself what to say in the first place. And I don't know how many of you would say this. I was wondering if any of us just think, well, I don't have any non-Christian friends. I don't mix with any non-Christians to be able to share the gospel with. Would anyone put themselves in that category? Just like all your friends are from church anyway? No? Okay, that's good. I'm glad to hear that. That's good. Okay. Right. I want you to just take a little sidestep now. Who here loves a good deal, a bargain? Okay. I'm guessing I'm not the only one who likes a good deal. Yeah. When we see the signs that say 20% off, 40% off, buy one, get one free, we're all kind of like, ooh, what's here? And I'm hoping also that you might be the kind of friend who, when you see a really good deal, especially if something's for free, you're calling your friends like, guess what I saw? You should come now. Come and get it. So I want you to think, if what other things get you excited that you want to share with your friends? Okay, so just talk quickly in your groups. What things get you excited that you're just like, oh, I need to tell my friend this? Okay, so I know not all of you will have had a chance to talk, but we need to keep going. So I'm going to share with you something that happened to me probably about 15 or so years ago that I got very excited about. So about 15 years ago, I discovered, I don't know if you guys have seen them, in China Mall they sell them, they're called magic sponges. It's a high-density foam sponge that just wipes everything. Like, you don't need product, it just needs water and just the walls. Oh, it's yeah, exactly. It's amazing, isn't it, Belinda? Anyone who's used one knows how good they are. Okay, so so I got so excited about this sponge. I had a baby and a toddler, and it just was the most amazing thing to me to have this sponge to clean my walls. And I was just telling all my friends about it constantly. And then I just had this light bulb moment, and I thought, I'm so excited about this little sponge that wipes a smudge off my wall, and I'm telling all my friends about it because it's just so amazing. And yet, I had in my possession the knowledge of something much greater, something that didn't just wipe dirt off my wall, but could wash and cleanse people's sins away. Why was I not just as excited to share that news with my friends as I was about this sponge? And it just really challenged me. I think sometimes the biggest reason we lack motivation to share the gospel with others is that we forget just how amazing and fantastic the news of the gospel is. Because it is the best news ever in all the world, in all history, for all time. You know, the forgiveness of sins, a relationship that we can have with God as our Father, and just that, what, as Candice was saying, hope of eternal life in exchange for putting our faith and trust in Jesus. It is just incredible. But we don't often remind ourselves of that or think about that. So my question to you is, do you appreciate that amazing gift that has been given to you through Jesus Christ? And does it excite you so much that you want to share it with people around you? Yeah. Oh. So, having said this, I want to say to us that the first step in doing evangelism is actually to tell ourselves the gospel. To remind ourselves of the work that God has done in our lives, to remind ourselves how amazing his gift of grace is, and to be thankful and appreciate it, and just to be joyful in it, so that it just naturally flows from us, that we just can't help but want to share it with others. So what I want you to do now is get into pairs. I'm hoping there's enough of you to be in pairs. And tell each other how you became a Christian. Okay? Or maybe at least say something that God has been doing in your life right now. Because I think that's always a good place to start. Okay, so get into twos, or if there's an odd number, someone can be a three. And just, I'm going to give you a bit of a timer, because I know sometimes one person can take a long time and then no one else has time. So after, I'm going to give you about four or five minutes enough per person? 5 minutes? Too much? 3 minutes. Okay, I'm going to give 3 minutes per person. So that's why you need to be in pairs, because otherwise if you're in a whole group, you're not going to have time to share. So just in pairs, I'm going to give you after three minutes, you guys have had lots of practice with talking for 3 minutes. After 3 minutes, you'll swap and the other person will tell their testimony, okay? Or if you haven't come to faith, just your walk so far in your search. Okay, the first 3 minutes is starting now. Okay, half a minute's already gone, so you guys in pairs. Okay, if you can just start slowly drawing your conversations to a close. Okay, so, sorry, time is running. So, hopefully you remember our definition of evangelism: the spreading of the Christian gospel by public preaching or personal witness. And our testimony of how God has worked and continues to work in our life is part of our witness to others. So use it when you're talking to your friends, saying, this is what God's done in my life. Because we also need to be showing people that being a Christian isn't about going to church, following rules, accepting a free gift that has no impact on our lives, but it's about a relationship with God. And it's our job to introduce our friend Jesus to them. Yeah, that's what it's about. So our testimony is part of our witness and how we can do evangelism. Yeah. Okay, so one of the things that we mentioned earlier was one of the things that might stop us from sharing is fear of how others might respond. And I've always found the verse Romans 1:16 quite challenging. Romans 1:16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." And I do often ask myself that question: am I not ashamed? Am I really not ashamed of the gospel? But then it's also remembering that the gospel is a message from God. It's not through my power, but it's the message of the word that has that power of God for salvation. So hopefully, as you guys have shared your testimonies, you've reminded ourselves, of how amazing Jesus is and what he's done for us, that he is the only way of salvation. And in some ways, I think when we are just more sure of that, it helps us to overcome our fear a bit when we're talking to others. Let me give you an example of another situation where we wouldn't be afraid of people's responses to us when we have an urgent message to give them. So imagine yourself, you're on the top floor of a 5-floor building. Everyone's just going about as normal, getting on with things. Then a fire breaks out in one of the offices. For some reason, the fire alarm's not working. It doesn't go off. So only people near the fire know that it's there. So people start evacuating. But no one on any of the other floors know about it. So you're thinking, okay, I need to let them know they're in danger. I don't think you wouldn't be thinking, oh, but what if they say, oh, we don't believe you, or, but I'm too busy, I've got this work to finish. We would just be like, no, stop, get out, now, kind of, there's danger. So in that situation, we go ahead and warn people. Why? Why are we warning them? To save them. Yep. We care about them, hopefully, even if we don't really know them. We're concerned. We have the truth we want to share with them. Yeah. So, again, the challenge to us, do we think of people in that way? Do we think not only, well, I say it is a matter of life and death. It's bigger than that. It's a matter of eternal life and death, this gospel of the message of the gospel. So do we feel that urgency to tell people? And if not, why not? And what do you think can help us to change our mindset, to realize the urgency of the message that we have to give? So discuss. Yeah, in the groups rather than pairs. So why don't we feel the urgency, and what can help us have the right mindset? The question was, do we feel the urgency of the message? And if not, why not? And what helps us to change our mindset? Sorry, the questions. Do we feel the urgency of the message? If not, why not? And then what can help us have the right mindset? Okay, so I want to suggest to us, like Candice did earlier, that part of the reason that we don't feel that urgency is because our minds are not focused on eternity. I know that almost sounds the opposite, because you're like, eternity is... But actually, our minds are too focused on the here and now and what people are going to think of me now than actually... what's at stake is their eternal future. But the truth of the matter is, and I think many of us make this as an excuse maybe, is that we don't like being rejected. We don't like it when people are like, oh, I don't believe you, or they've just got questions that make it seem like, how can you believe that? And to be honest, that is true. There are going to be people who reject the message of the gospel. 1 Corinthians 1:18 says, "For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved, it is the power of God. So there are going to be those who reject it. Also in the parable, 1 Corinthians 1:18. Okay, I was going to jump. I'm going to stick to my notes or else I'm going to get lost. Our responsibility is to share the news. We can't make people accept what we say. They have that choice. We've given the message. They choose whether to accept it or not. We are told we have that responsibility, both in Mark 16:15, and most people know it from Matthew 28, go into all the world and preach the good news. We also see, I think the parable, when I was helping out at a mission in London, we were given the talk on the parable of the sower. And actually, I found this really helpful in that we were reminded that the farmer went out, he sowed the seed, he planted the word. How much of what he planted grew well and were fruitful? One quarter was. That means three quarters was lost. And in some ways, I think, and it's strange, but we can be encouraged by that, that actually maybe the majority of people we talk to are going to reject it, but that's the way it is. But it's still our responsibility to sow that seed and to take it out there. And actually, those who do then accept his word and become part of his family, you know, it's described, isn't it, as taking, being fruitful by 30, 40, 50, 100 fold, because then that person then can go out and reproduce. So it's not wasted. Fruit is produced. So when we're struggling with sharing the gospel because we're afraid of people's reactions, let me suggest that firstly, we need to remember how much God has loved us. Again, I'm coming back again to that first bit. He sent his only son to die for us. We were enemies of God. We didn't want anything to do with him. We wanted to reject him. But he took on the punishment for our sins, the sins of the world, past, present, and future sins. Do we have a similar love for our friends? So we were enemies of God. How do we feel about our friends? Do we love them enough to risk feeling a bit uneasy, a bit rejected by them, in order that they might have the opportunity to know Jesus personally, so that they would know forgiveness of their sins and enter into eternal life? I'm as much preaching this to myself as talking to you guys, because I find that really hard as well. But I think when we do focus on, okay, this is something just so important, and when we remind ourselves just what God has done for us, I think that should really motivate us in wanting to share it with others. So what about you really, really do want to go out and tell people, but you just don't know what to say? That's the next step. So I don't know how many of you have played, I know some of you have, played a sport regularly, or play a musical instrument, or maybe you're a driver. When you're first learning, I'll put my pen down. I know I use my hands a lot. When you're first learning something new, it takes a lot of concentration. It feels awkward and difficult, and you're just like, oh, this just doesn't feel quite right. But the more you do it, the more you get used to it, it just becomes natural. You don't really think about it at all. In sports, you just say that you have muscle memory. Like, your body just knows what to do. The same with musical instruments. I used to play violin. And to start with, you're kind of like, you're looking, oh, where's my finger go? Oh, there. But then after a while, you just automatically, your fingers go in the right place. And I think it's the same with talking gospel, if that makes sense. If it's something that we are doing regularly with each other, telling ourselves, being in the Word, talking with our other Christian friends about it, it actually doesn't then feel so unnatural to talk about it with our other friends who don't believe, because it's just part of our normal conversation that we're used to having. And so I just think, again, that what we were seeing this morning with Candice and mentoring each other and encouraging one another, it kind of helps us to naturally lead into feeling more natural, in some senses, to talking to others also about what God's doing in our lives. So, I wanted to look at a few kind of tools for sharing the gospel. So I know that sometimes when we're talking to people, it's very rare that we have that opportunity where someone comes up to us and is like, I just really want to know how to become a Christian. Just tell me. And then you can just be like, dip, 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 dip. Okay, there we go. But I do think it's helpful for us at least to have in our minds a simple gospel presentation, so that even if it just means you're having a conversation with someone and you can kind of drop in that first little bit, then the next time you have a conversation, you're like, okay, now we need to move on to the next kind of bit like that. At least in your mind, you kind of are like, okay, this is what I need to be sharing with them so that they can understand the full message. So what I was going to do is, you guys are in four groups, is that, I hope? So in a bit after we've done this, we are going to look at some simple kind of gospel presentations that you can find quite easily on the internet or whatever that probably most of you have come across. But I wanted us to look first at four different Bible passages, because I want us to see how the Bible presents the gospel message. Okay, so I don't have enough of one each, but I think there's four papers per group, so you'll have to share. And I want you to look through those passages. Hold on, where's my clicker? Oh no, that's next. Okay, don't worry, forget that. So I want you to look. So I've got this all on the bit of paper that I'm going to give you, okay? What does the passage say about God or Jesus? What does it say about the state of man? What God has done? What man needs to do? Are there any consequences and any other observations you can see, okay? So, okay, right. I'm going to get you guys to feedback because you each had different passages. I've chosen all passages that I think should be fairly familiar ones that most people would know as kind of gospel message type passages. Who had the most obvious one? John 3:16-21. Which group had that one? Who had John 3? Okay. So can you guys share with us the things that you saw? So who God or Jesus is, the state of man, what God has done, what does man need to do, any other consequences or responsibilities? I think most people know John 3:16. Let me just give you the mic because...
Okay, what does the passage say about God or Jesus? He's the Savior, he's love. The state of man, he's condemned, he's a sinner. What God has done, he has sent his Son, Jesus Christ. What does man need to do? He needs to repent and believe. Are there any consequences? We wrote the condemnation, judgment, and walks in darkness.
Okay, who had the Romans passage? Romans, okay.
Christian or religious? the question, the state of man. You already answered.
The state of man.
Where was I?
You read it.
I read it. Now I'm lost.
The state of man is in Romans chapter 3, verse 23. It says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ."
Okay. And so all the questions. So what, who is God? What has God done?
Okay. Who is Jesus? This is a man whom God has put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. Mm-hmm. This was to show God's righteousness because in his divine forbearance he has passed over former sins.
Thank you. Okay, so I'm hoping you'll see as we go through these passages, you're all going to say quite similar things. Right, you guys, were you Colossians? Colossians 1:15-22. Sorry, the Isaiah passage was Isaiah 53:4-6. Oh, sorry. Romans 3:21-26.
Just that.
Thank
you. So, what does it say about God?
Firstborn of creation, head of the body and the church.
Okay.
And state of man, evil doers. What has God done? Reconciled man to him in body of flesh by the death of Jesus. What does man need to do? Repent. Are there any consequences? Judgment and condemnation?
Okay. Thank you. And then you guys. You had Isaiah 53:3-6.
In this one, it tells us how he was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and as one whom men hid their faces, he was despised and we esteemed him not. I think it really shows how great God is and how weak and simple-minded and finite, as many of our leaders elders would say, and how awesome God is, and he worked through that, and he carried us forward. He stayed with us. He never gave up on us. The state of man is again, as I say, how wicked, and it talks about transgressions and iniquities, and how we deserve chastisement. And as sheep, we are constantly going to turning astray. What man needs to do is to focus, to be grateful for all God does for us, and admit that we are weak and sinful, and that there are consequences to what we do. And it's when God rebukes us, we should, and he tests us, and what we sometimes feel is punishment, it's out of his love for us that he makes these things happen.
Thank you. So I'm hoping that you can see a combination of those passages, and there are so many more passages in the Bible where you can pick up the gospel message, that the kind of the main things that get picked up are that God is the ruler, creator, man is sinful, evil, rejecting God, but then God is the one who comes and pays the price for the sin of man, and then it is man's responsibility to accept or reject that gift of life. So what I wanted us to do very quickly was just look at some simple gospel presentations that kind of cover those things, just as more as a memory aid for us. And again, I think probably most of you have come across at least one or more of these. So the first one is one that Billy Graham, I don't know if any of you, most of you are old enough to know who Billy Graham was, evangelist, used to use these steps. So it's four steps, so just four quite easy things to remember. So you've got step one, God loves you and wants you to experience peace and life, abundant and eternal. Step two, we choose to disobey God and go on our own willful way. The result is separation from God. Step three, Jesus Christ died on the cross and rose from the grave. He paid the penalty for our sin and bridged the gap between God and people. Step four, we must trust Jesus Christ as Lord and Saviour and receive him by personal invitation. So you can see there, those steps cover the stuff that we've seen in those verses. Okay, has everyone got that one? I'm going to move on to the next one. Okay, this one I like because it spells out the word gospel. Okay, so G, God created us to be with him. O, our sins separate us from God. S, sins cannot be removed by good deeds. P, paying the price for sin, Jesus died and rose again. E, everyone who trusts in him alone has eternal life. And L, life with Jesus starts now and lasts forever. I like that one. Okay, the next, has everyone got a picture of that one that they want? The next one is a shorter one, YMCA. Okay, so Y, you are loved by God. Then you've got the verse, for God so loved the world. M, man is sinful and separated from God. Christ died on the cross as the only payment for our sins. This is John 3:16, in case you're not, yeah. And then accept God's gift of eternal life by faith. So that's just the breakdown of John 3:16 as YMCA. Okay, Roman Road is a longer one. There's two slides for this. Most of you have heard the Roman Road thing. I actually had never heard of it till I came here. So you've got just a walk through Romans. So you start Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Then Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Then Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Then Romans 8:1, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Sorry, I have to twist my neck. Then you've got Romans 10:9, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Romans 10:10, for it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. And Romans 10:13, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. I didn't put that. So two ways to live is something that I used a lot when I was at university. It's a gospel presentation. It was a few too many pages to put on, but it's six kind of, I think it's, yeah, six steps. Just basically, again, saying the same thing. God is creator, ruler. Man rejects that. God sent Jesus to restore things. And then kind of the choice we have. Either we accept it and we get, part of God's family, or we reject it. And then, obviously, we face judgment. So the next one, sunlife.com, it's a blog sharing the gospel. So I don't know much about this website, so I'm just going to tell you in case you go to it and you're like, oh, this is a bit. But this page on the website just lists 10 different, including some of these, 10 different kind of presentations. So it was just a helpful page. Just to see, the ones that I've shown are on that web page. If you want to have a look at them or look at other ones. So I think just sometimes having that, just a simple memory reminder of, okay, it's this, just can help us when we're trying to share things with people. But I do want to emphasize, sharing the gospel is not about learning a technique and just going through that and ticking off the box, yep, I've done that. it's a tool that's useful, but it is, again, I just want to keep saying, it's about relationship with God. It's not, I'm just telling this person this thing, and then I've done my job. It's personal, and it's because you love people, even if you don't know them that well, you want them to have that amazing gift that you have had. You want to share it with them. And then hopefully, if they do take that step, to walk alongside them as well, mentoring them, encouraging them. And again, it's not just down to us. It might be you think, actually, there's someone else in the church who would do a better job with this particular person. So introduce them, like, oh, look, this is my friend, whoever, or, you know, because, again, we are a community. We are a body. We're supposed to be doing this together. And again, I just want to remind you that it is God who does the work. So we all the way through have to be praying. At the beginning, through it, just keep praying, giving it to him, putting it in his hands. I just want to leave you, what's the time? Yep. Leave you just with a few ideas of intentional evangelism. So it can be really small, simple things. Do you, for example, think about how you use social media, what you post on Facebook? Do you think, what I post, what effect does that have on my witness? Am I posting things that actually might help others know the truth of the gospel? Am I posting things that might point people in the right direction? Am I posting things that will actually be helpful to them? Another idea is, if someone new turns up at church, do I go up to them and find out about them, ask them why they're here, how they came? You know, just actually pay attention and think, okay, this person's turned up, maybe they're seeking, you know, what can I say to them to encourage them and share with them? Maybe, so it could be people you know, probably easier with people you know. After the church service, when you get up, you've obviously listened to the sermon. Hopefully you've listened to the sermon, you've not fallen asleep. When you go out there and you chat to your friends, what's your topic of conversation? Is it what I've done all week, what I'm going to be doing later on? Or is it, oh, God really spoke to me in that sermon. What did you learn? You know, just something as simple as that, just to make you think, okay, how can we be encouraging each other in the gospel? Like I was saying before, the more we're talking about it ourselves, the easier it is to then talk about it to others. Or how about even inviting some of your Christian and non-Christian friends to a meal at your house, so that you can deliberately have conversation that will have some spiritual input. I'm not saying like gang up on your non-Christian friends and have everyone like, right, da, 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 but just having that influence, I think, just that, you know, it helps when you've got a couple of other people who you know are going to agree with you, just to have conversation. Or how about saying to someone, how about we just read the Bible together? You know, would you be interested? Can we meet up once a week and just read through the book of Philippians? So just, again, like we were saying before, just being intentional and thinking, okay, is there a particular thing I can do or a particular people I can speak to? And it doesn't have to be a, okay, sit down, I need to tell you this whole gospel message. Because generally that's not how it works, is it? Okay, so I'm going to leave you with this verse, Romans 10, 14 to 15. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. So we should aspire to have beautiful feet. So that means you have to walk. You have to go out there. You have to go and spread the word. And again, hopefully, from what you've heard today, it's because we've reminded ourselves of what God has done for us and his great love for us, and that the gospel message is the most amazing news that anyone can have. Okay, let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for the privilege that we have of having your word readily available to us. Thank you for the way that you have worked in each of our lives, convicting us of our sin and bringing us to a place of asking for your forgiveness. Thank you for your great gift of mercy and love and grace that allows us to be forgiven by you, that we might be called children of God. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us just to remember this amazing news, that we might want to take it out into the world and share it with others. And pray that you would be with us now as we go out. Help us not to forget the things that we have been learning and that we've been challenged on. And pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.